Hey, Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Ayin Beis and Kedushin. Right at the seventh line, last word in the seventh line. Amar Amar Chama, Chavil Yama Tchilta Debavel. Tchilis is a lesson of like fine wool, fine purple, blue wool. So it also means pure, the purest. Chavil Yama, it was the purest section, the purest city in Bavel. Again, we're talking about the geography of Bavel, what's considered Bavel, the reason being because the predominant opinion here in this parak is that Bavel was the purest of Jews, because Ezra had removed all the blemished Jews from Bavel and taken them up to Eretz Yisrael. So Bavel was the purest. And we want to know, what are the borders of Bavel? So we described at length of yesterday's daf the borders, and we said the same applies that we were talking about for Yichus, for genealogical classes, for pedigree, also applies to the lochas of Gittin, because we know by Git, if you bring a Git within Eretz Yisrael or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael or vice versa, you don't have to say Bifonei Afonei, because there were two reasons brought down in the beginning of Gittin, because Eidem Mitzvah and Lekaimo and Baki Lishma apply both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael. So we want to know what the areas were. So we describe the geography between the two rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris, and then we talk about other areas now. So he says that Chavil Yama was the best of Bavel, meaning the finest Jews lived there. Shunya Vaguvya Tchelsa de Chavil Yama. And within Chavil Yama, which wasn't simply a small town, it must have been a whole area, a county, Shunya and Guvya were the best of that. In other words, the finest Jews lived there. Ravinomer Aftsitsura. Tsitsura, in addition to Shunya and Guvya, were also the finest areas of Chavil Yama. Tanya Nihachi. Chavil Yama Tchelsa de Bavel. Again, the same idea. Chavil Yama was the best of Bavel. Shunya Vaguvya Tchelsa de Chavil Yama. Omra Papa. Now, the Kutians, who were not full Jews, not accepted as full Jews, they were mixed up in there too. In other words, maybe at one time the purest Jews lived there, now Kutim have mixed up. The Gemara says, Veloi, that's not the case. They wanted, some Kuti wanted to marry a woman from there, so it already started people talking that, oh, wait a minute, now the Kutians are mixed up in there, but the truth was that they didn't let him marry somebody from there. Kutim lo nesarvem, there was a rumor went out, because one Kuti said wanted to ask a girl from there to marry him, and they didn't let him. So they didn't allow him. Rashi brings down the Yeshom that her papa wanted to marry someone, they didn't let him. That's why he was Motzi Shemetz Psulam. He says, Koshim and Elomerkin, how can you say something like that about her papa? But in any case, all those areas were considered the finest Jews. Amar papa, my chavil yoma. What is another word, as you said, Chavil Yama, as if we know what that is, right? You don't look at it a map today, it doesn't say Chavil Yama. Amar Papazu Prasta Bursi, that was that I was known. It was the Euphrates of Bursi. That area was, the finest Jews. A man said, Anon mi shot mi shot. You know where I'm from? Shot mi shot, that's where I'm from. Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafri Yitzchak, the smith, got up, Amar Al Raglav, Amar Shot mi shot, Bein HaNaharos Ametis. And it just stands between the two rivers. Now, we don't mean the rivers we learned yesterday, the Chidekel and the Prat, which, of course, are first mentioned in Parshas Bereish at the beginning of the Chumash. Parshas Bereish says that's the borders of Bavel, the Pras beating the Euphrates, which goes on the left side, the western side of Bavel, as opposed to the eastern side of Bavel. You have a Gemara? Duplicates of everything. Okay, so a man said, I'm from Shot Meshot, on his feet, is between the rivers. Now, we don't mean, obviously, between the Euphrates and the Tigris, which is where all Bavel was, between those two rivers, as we described yesterday. But he means, so what does it mean? He says, it's between two rivers. So what does it mean, it's between two rivers? Obviously, you're not referring to the main rivers, otherwise, clearly, that's Bavel. What is he teaching me there? That the whole all of Bavel is between the two big rivers. What does it mean there? What's the point? You're saying it's between two rivers. What does that mean? That's what he means. That between the Naharas, between the rivers that he's talking about, is the same as Gola Liuchsin. What is Gola? We described yesterday Gola. Take a look at Rashi. It's important to see this Rashi. Kagola Pumpadisa Karigola Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says over here, take a look, and first of all, before we even get there, let's look at Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos. Bein and Aris Hari Kagola, but Tzorch Lomit, the Shnei Mekomos Hain, Dimishim Chidekel Pras, it must be, we're not talking about the Chidekel the Pras, Lavi Boigmar, Bechibana Asmar Havi, the Pshita, Lukuli Alma, the Miachsel, the Achsel, it's clearly, that's Babel, the El Nami Loboy, Elamedat Stodden. Before we're talking about if it's on the east side of the Chidekel or the west side of the Pras or below or high, how high does Babel actually go? Ava Benaros Pshita, like the Miachsene, so you have to say that this is a different area. So what is there was another area called between the rivers, you know, like many in America, you have Pittsburgh, it's called the Three Rivers City or Cincinnati, I forgot what it was, Three Rivers, right? Three River Stadium, was that Pittsburgh or Cincinnati? I forget already now. Anyway, because there are many places, most of the big cities in America are built on, you know, water. So as throughout Europe, you know, throughout the whole world, they're building near water, otherwise they couldn't have lived, right? They couldn't have transport, they couldn't drink, etc. So many of our rivers, so here was also called between the two rivers. So what does he mean there? What does he mean to say? He means to say that between the rivers is the same yichas as Gola. Now what is Gola? Gola means exile. Here Rashi, now look on Rashi, to be done with us, look at Rashi, Gola. Rashi is about halfway down on the page, above where it goes Sabach, you see Kagola, Pumpadisa Karigola Barosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah calls that Pumpadisa. Pumpadisa, we know, was a main Babylonian town where the yeshivas were there. Sur and Pumpadisa were the main yeshivas. Karigola is Pumpadisa. So he's saying here that when a man says, I'm from Shot Meshot, and Rabbi Yitzchak came along to say that it's Bein Haaretz, what does he mean to say? He means to say, Rabbi Ramacham, Rabbi Yosef, Bein Haaretz is like Gola Liyochsin, just like Pumpadisa is considered a good yichas, is considered a main city in Babel. The same thing between the rivers, even though that might be two small rivers near one of the borders of Babel, is the same as Gola Yochsin. The Hechekim, where is it? Rabbi Yochanan, Mi'i the Kira Leal. It's from I the Kira on above. I the Kira was the lower part. Remember yesterday we talked about Israel is below Babel. Babel is not necessarily the borders we have of Iraq today. Israel, which was a higher point, was higher geographically or topography-wise, went down to Babel. As we said, that when the Euphrates overflowed in Eretz Yisrael, you saw when there was a lot of water, the Gemara says, when there was a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, the siman was that in Babel, which was lower lying, the Euphrates overflowed because the rainwater filled up the Euphrates, which touched on the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and when it went down to Babel, they saw the Euphrates overflowing. So he says when they sat in Babel and they see the Euphrates overflowing, this is that's a siman that there's a lot of rain in Israel because it's flowing down. The point is that the Babel went away. So we described yesterday the border as you come down from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. So where does Babel start? So yesterday we gave these different areas that it starts from, meaning the southern part of Babel is a certain point. So he says here, where is Bein Haaretz? It's like Pumpadisa. Where is it? It's from E to Kira to El. It's from E to Kira and above that, meaning it's that point on. Ivan Mayochan Ad Mafrasub gives. We said yesterday that the border of Babel only reaches to the ferry or the bridge at Gizma. And that's above that, so it doesn't go that far. Amar Abaye Ritzua Nafka. Truth is, the border of Babel only goes to Mabrusa the Gizma. But then a little strip sticks out of there, and it comes to Edekira, and that's between two small rivers there, or not the main rivers of the Tigris and the Euphrates, and therefore the Chiddush is that that's also like Babel. As we said yesterday, I pointed out this Rashi here now that you looked at. Now, Pumpadisa, Kari Golub, Rosh Hashanah, we had the same Rashi yesterday. You look in Rashi, about 12 lines from the bottom of the page on yesterday's daf. You can't do that, right? But it says over there, take my word for it, it says, Kagola Pumpadisa Karigola Barash Hashanah, the exact same Rashi on yesterday's daf and today's daf. And I said this yesterday, when I pointed this out, either one or two cycles ago to my son, Chaim Baruch, he said he found a Rashi in Gittin, I think Davav of Daf Ches, which has two Rashis, exact same words, on the same page. What's the Chiddush in that? What does all this mean? So I said, jokingly that some people come late to the shir and they miss the first one to get the second. Other people leave early before the shir is over. So you have to have the first one for them in case they miss the second one. But the truth is, it's probably just a publisher's issue, that he says the same thing twice.
The border of Israel and the border of Babel were touching each other?
Not necessarily that they were touching. There could have been other areas in between. But the point is that Bavel is always considered Mitzafon Bahara. The evil of Bavel always came from the north. It was always, as if you look at a map today, directly above Israel is Syria, right? And then you got Turkey on this side and it goes off. Maybe, and you know, the map that we have today is meaningless. They're talking about that now, the Sykes-Picot, you know, 100 years ago, it doesn't mean anything. But Bavel was considered north of Eretz Yisrael, probably northeast, but it was considered Bavel. Today, it's almost all east, northeast, but it's all east. It's not, doesn't go directly. But in those days, Bavel was considered the north of Israel, and the Euphrates, which doesn't, we don't, today Israel doesn't touch the Euphrates, but at that point Israel was went much further north and touched the Euphrates, and the Euphrates stretched from there. The map that we have today also doesn't show the Euphrates is going directly north. It basically goes east and west, yeah. And it from northern Syria it hits across there. Yeah. East, and therefore, it could be. But I don't know that that was ever considered. The Jordan was always considered the eastern border of Israel. You know, so that's nothing new, right? Yeah, from the Mediterranean to the Jordan is
already. Tribes are on the other side.
Right, that's the other side. That's not considered Israel. That's not considered. That's really where the Golan, etc. That's not really considered the regular Israel. Okay. Anyway, Bavel is always considered north. And Gola, again, we have that word constantly. You had it yesterday, today, and again, the two Rashis. But Gola is like Pumpedisa. So those are considered good areas, considered good Yichus areas. Amarav, Ika, Barav, and Amarav, Hanano. Amarav. Chilazon Nehavind sounds like one word. It's like one thing. It doesn't say even Nehavind, but Rashi says Chilazon is a river. And Nehavind apparently was a city nearby there.
Thought it was a worm.
It's another word for chilazon was the snail. Yeah. That's the modern Hebrew word for snail, and they also was the chilazon was the one that they made the dye for the tzitzis from there, right? The chelas from there, right? So that's but this was the name of a city. Chilazon was the maybe originally got that name or the river got that name. It was called chilazon because they found snails in the river. You know how did they adopt that? Anyway, who knows, right? It says chilazon Rashi says it's the name of a river. Nehavin in that place. Harek goes. That's also an area. In other words, we all said we're going with this whole idea. This great country of Bavel that reached from on the west from the Pras to the east. To the Chidekel, to the Tigris was a big country, but we were dealing with what exactly are its borders, so we know if somebody comes from that area, they have good lineage. So Rav Chazan about Harik Golgos also is like Pompidisa for Yochsan, very good. Amalei Abaya Lo Tetzitzulo, don't listen to Ravika, who just said this. Yevamah Yidunaf LeHasam is a chutzpah. He says, you know what? He had a Yevamah felt him there, and as he had a brother who died, and he Yavama there, and he wanted to marry her. So he said, oh, that's a good place. You know, so he wanted to say, that's why I'm marrying her. So he's as if he was personally involved on the laces. What are you talking about? Atu didi? How can you say that? Is this my own memra? I didn't make this up. The Rav Chananel, I quote Rav Ika Bar Rav, and was quote Rav Chananel, who said it in the name of Rav. Also, show Rav Yaskar Chananel, Amalu, Hachi Yom Rav, that's talk of what Rav said. Chilaz Navar, I can go to Yosem. I didn't make it up on my own. You know, he was accused of making it up on his own because he could marry a girl from there. Come on. He says, that's his name of Rav. It's hard to even understand the Gemara. How could Abaya have said that? It's hard to say. Pliga Rav Abba. Yeah, Pliga the Rav Bar Kana. This disagrees with Rav Bar Kana. The Amrav. Well, yesterday we had it also, 2 days ago, that how could you say something, if you say something before and then the Maisa happens, then you Paskin. But if you say it, now after the Maisa happens, you know, everybody's like Gabadav. In other words, even a judge has to recuse himself if it's something that he's personally involved in. Look, they couldn't pass that gas thing because three of the Chavri Knesset and the government said that they're connected. They had stock or whatever. They're friends with the guy. This that we just said now, this member that we said that Nehavin is really a good area, a good Yichus area, a good section of Bavel. This apparently disagrees. It disagrees with Rav Kana. When they took the people, the 10 tribes, and they took them first into Bavel, they led them, as Nebuchadnezzar led them, they took them to those cities. And Rashi says that we're going to, and we'll see, Gemara is going to say it in a minute at the end, this is all for bad. Now, so he took them to these cities, and there they intermarried, and we had all kinds of bad yichas from there. Okay, there's your chalazon. You just said before that chalazon and and Nehavin were good places. So Chalach was Chalozon. Chabor is a Hadayev. Nahar Gozon is a Ginzik. Oraimah they zu Chamdan v'chavarseh. It's Chamdan and its suburbs. Armila zu Nehavin v'chavarseh. That makes it even worse because now we got both Nehavin and Chalozon as being areas in which the Jews were intermarried. My chavarseh, what are the suburbs of Yom Shmuel? Karach, Mushchi, Chuschi, V'kumbi. Those are the suburbs that we're speaking about. Omar Yochav, Kulam Psul, when he says that the Ashur and Nebuchadnezzar took them to these areas in Babel, it's all for bad, meaning that they were all Psul. Rashi says, a few lines before the lines get wide, Komak M'shagolu Ashvatim, Netamu Avikhav, Menasayim, whatever the tribes were taking into Golus, the Avdichavim got mixed up with their daughters, you know. So today, even if Rabbi Chayil's father, Olav Shalom, finds these Aser Shvatim, nobody really thinks that they're pure Jews. You know, might there's some Jewish blood in them. Nobody thinks that they've remained pure. He says here the Goyim always mixed up with them. Avdichavim Abal Bas Israel, even though we Paskin, we've mentioned this several times, Michael. Avdichavim Abal Bas Israel, the Vlad is not a Mamzer, but it's Nishka Groisi Yichas either. You know, Rashi says Afilu Man Domer Vlad Mamzer Lohave, even if you say he's not a Mamzer, Pogum Yehave, certainly he's not a good Yichus, is what we call Pogum, he's blemished. So the point is that they're all for Psul. So this disagrees that you just said before that Nehavend and Chilazon are good places. Here we see that at least that Nehavend and certainly Chilazon, he said, Fesh Chalach is Chilazon. And according to the other opinion that says, then they're both bad places. Now, we have admitted that when we talked about these suburbs, the second one mentioned was Mushchi. I would think that maybe it's Krach Mushchi, the city of Mushchi. It's not clear if Krach is a separate place by itself or Krach Mushchi. But the point is, Mashmah Mushchi, he assumed is the same as Mushchani, which we said before, yesterday, is a good area. You have to say Mushchani. That's not a steer. Mushchani was good, Mushchi was bad. But there's a disagreement about Nehavin and Chilazon. Pasuk says in Daniel, when he's describing Bavel, he described that they were, this is what we call personification in the Bible, right, in Tanakh. Utlas alon b'puma b'enshina, he had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Rashi explains that puma means in the mouth. When it's between its teeth, that means you can see it. It means it's sticking out, like an animal, you know, a lion who tears something in the and it's got some stuff between its teeth. Between its teeth means that you could see it sticking out. These are these three cities that Bavel had, and one of them is Chilazon that we're talking about. In other words, these were border towns. It's like many things. It's like many, you know, throughout history, when neighboring countries fight, many times the city was in, I'll take Galicia, where my ancestry's from, who did belong to Austria-Hungary. Today it's, I don't know what, it's part of Ukraine, belonged to Poland someplace, right? Huh?
Alsace-Lorraine, the same thing, France, Germany, France.
Yeah, yeah, it's all these things. A lot of these places are, you know, it depends where you are, right? It depends that we have it on our borders as well, with Gaza, whatever, you know, is it part of Israel or not part of Israel? The Golan, you know, it depends who's sitting there right now. So he says these are those three cities that sometimes it's swallowed them up, Bavel, and that's why he said Chilazon was part of Bavel, sometimes not. We have these different opinions now, whether if you come from Chilazon, is that a good, are you a purebred or not? And the pasuk goes on, and then I saw another animal, the Tanina, second one, Demeldo, compared to a bear. And that second one, Tanur Yosef, El Parsan, these are the Persians. You had your Babylonians and you had your Persians. Shochem Shosim Kedov, they eat and drink like a bear, slobs, Umsulav and Kedov, and they're fleshy like a bear. Umagadim Ser Kedov, they grow a lot of hair all over their body like a bear. Veinla Menuch Kedov, they're always restless. You know, they're always restless, they're always running around. Rami Kavi Parsa Derochev, when Kavi Chazek Pazi Derochev, when he saw Persian riding, Omer, Hainu Dubinai, but this is one of the wandering bears, always restless. Omerle, Rebbe Levi, Hareini Parsaim, show me the Persians. Omerle, Domel Chayel Shabbos David, they are comparable to the armies of Beis David, meaning that they're always running around, they're a big, strong guy. Chaz Rashi says they Giborim, they're heroes, strong people. Hareini Chavron, show me the Chavron. The Chavron here are the fire worshippers. It was another sect of that was either part of Persia or near Persia.
Zoroastrian,
it could be they were called Zoroastrian. They were. This was an Avodah Zarah. They had Domel Malach Habal. They are like destroying angels, tough people. Harani Shmon, show me the Arabs, the Ismailites. Dum l'seim shel beis hakiseh, they dress dark. They dress in dark clothes, Rashi says, in black clothes, and therefore they look like the sheidim, like the demons found in the Sheirutim. Because they're dressed in white, they look like white, they look like malachim, they dress in nice clothes, and therefore they're comparable to malach hashas. When Rebbe died, right, Omri said the following things. Now, how did he know these things? Take a look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom of the page. When Rebbe died, so it says Nizrukur Nefuah Bafume, right? You have that same lashon. You had it by Yaakov, I think, also when Yaakov, remember, he said, Nizrukur Nefuah Bafume, a Nefuah was thrown into him. It wasn't something that he had knowledge of, you know. When a man's dying and calls his kids and he says, "Listen, these are the bank account numbers. This is the Swiss secret number, whatever. This is where the number money is in Panama or whatever it is." Those things he knew about. This is something that Moshe sort of sent this nevuah. He had a nevuah. All of a sudden, he had Ruach HaKodesh. When he died, as he was dying, he said these words. There's a city in Bavel called Humnaya. They're all Ammonim. Even though Bavel had a good reputation, when Rebbe died, he said that city is all Ammonites. Misgari Kabababel, there's another city called Misgari, Kula Mamzer, they're all Mamzerim there. Yeah, stay away from there. Birki Kabababel, the city in Babel, Shneachim Yesh, Sham, there's two cities there, two brothers in that city, Shemachlif Mishsem, they exchange their wives all the time, Zelazeh. Obviously, stay away from there, you know, you don't want to take Shaduchim from there. Okay? These are all names of places. And then he says, Birsa the Satya Ikababel, there's a Birsa the Satya, okay, you could just say that's the name of the place, but it sounds like Bira, a large city, the Satya, where they turn away. Satya, like the Sitrach or Satya to turn. Sota, right? It's a woman who turns away, Ikubavo. Hayom Sar Me'achar Me'akam. Today they've left God. Why? The Akvi Per B'Kivri B'Shab. So what happened was a large fish pond had overflowed on Shabbos, right? The fish pond overflowed, and these fish overflowed. You know, it's like they didn't go into the fish pond on Shabbos, but it overflowed, and they were on the ground. But Soda Baba Shabbos, and they went and they captured these fish on Shabbos. V'shamtinu Ravachi Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia put the people in Cherem. Vishtamod. Rashi learns Vishtamod is the last Rashi on the page. Nishtamdu. Matzach upgishmad. They left the fold, right? They became non-Jews. They turned away from Judaism. So they say, you know, that's the story with that city, you know? So all these cities, I guess he told us.
They turned away because they were put in Cherem?
Yeah, apparently because they were put in Cherem. Yeah, because they were put in Cherem. Yes, that's not a good idea. There's different ways, you know, to deal with it. I've never, you know, it's never been recorded in history, as far as I can tell, whether in the Gemara or in modern times, that putting anybody in Cherem ever resulted in a positive effect. Right? It always just
Rabbi
causes.
Rabbi Wein says it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Rabbi Wein always said that when you put someone in Cherem, the opposite results.
The opposite results, right? You put him in Cherem in order to fix the problem, you know, to show, but usually it just causes more problems, right? It just, you know, sometimes like we had, but you want to go, Yichas, keep your mouth shut, right? Look for people who are quiet. Akrad Agma, the fort of Agam. Ikabav is a place in Babel called Fort Agam. Adabar Avi
is actually a leaning tower, right?
Which one? A leaning tower?
Right. Birta is...
It could be a tower, right? Like a bira, a tower, or a large palace. Leaning. Yeah, like a leaning tower, right? It could be. Maybe more turn away, right. That's how they say the leaning tower of Pisa. They also say that Birta side. Maybe, I don't know.
The Aramaeans say it that
way. Say it, right, yeah. Rashi says, Hashem Shesoru Me'achri Amakom. Birta Shesoru, turned away. Yeah, good. Adabarava, so in this city of the Fort Agam, Adabarava Yesh, but there's an Adabarava there. Hayom Yosh B'chekel Shal Avram. Today he's resting in the bosom of Avram. So the Pasha Pshat is, Rashi says, Tosfos quotes Rashi also, that it's the, today he's, you know, he died. You know, today he died. Now he's in, like, so to speak, now he's in God's hands. So he's like, he's with his father Avram, right? That's one way to learn, right? But according to this, you'll have to say that if he died, Adabar Avram was found to be later on. So therefore, according to this, you have to say it's not the Rav Adabar and the Gemara. Because Rav Adam and Gemara certainly was after Rebbe. You know, he survived Rebbe by a lot. Tosus says that he brings down the Reed that says there are actually two Adabaravas. You can have that. There was one Adabarava who died. Rebbe was saying that he died before, so he died protecting before Rebbe. It was the Adabarava who survived Rebbe, who found in the Gemara, was, you know, in the Talmud after the Mishnah was a different Adar Barava. But another pshat that Rashi brings down is that it doesn't mean that he died that day. It means he was born that day. And in the Cheik of Avram means Nichnasa B'Vriso Shel Avram Avinu. So that's another way to learn it, right? So it could say that according to that, it could be the Rav Adar Barava and the Gemara. Anyway, so it's two different ways to learn who this Adar Barava was. It the same guy, or was it if it was the same one as the Gemara, that means that he was born that day. If it means it's a different one, then it could have been that he died that day. Hayom Nolad Rav Yehuda Bababel. Rebbe said again, how did Rebbe died in Eretz Yisrael? Presumably, how did he know and he knew that Rav Yehuda was born today? It was with prophecy. It was Ruach HaKodesh. So he said, Yehuda was born today. Damar Mach, Shemesh, Rebbe died, Nolad Rebbe died. Shemesh, Rebbe died, Nolad Rebbe Yehuda was born. In other words, that each one, so to speak, took the torch from the previous one. Shemesh, Rebbe Yehuda, Nolad Rav, Shemesh, Rav, Nolad Ravashi. L'amdachot, to teach Shein Tzadik Nifter Me'olam, that a Tzadik does not die, Ad She Nivr Tzadik Amos, until another Tzadik was born to take his place. Shenemar, V'zorach HaShemesh, Yubo HaShemesh. When the sun comes up, the sun goes down. Ad Shalal Kivsa, Shem Shashal Eli, before Eli's reign, in other words, before his sun set, before his light was extinguished, before he died, Zorach HaShemesh Shal Shmuel HaRamasi. Shmuel was already born. Shenemar, V'ner Lakim Terem Yichbe U'Shmuel Shachet, before the near of God, meaning in this case Eli, before it was extinguished, Shmuel was already there. Tziva Shem LeYaakov, this is a very interesting pasuk because we can apply this, perfectly today. Tziva Shem LeYaakov, Hashem commanded Yaakov, Sviva Tzarov. Hashem sort of commanded, you're always going to be surrounded by enemies. Wherever we are, we're surrounded by enemies. Rav Yehuda Amar, if you give an example, you go in Humnaya Lepumnara. Humnaya was a city of Goyim that always troubled the Jews, right? It was all Ammonim who always laid siege to the Jews. And Pumnaro, Umnai was right next to Pumnaro, which was the city of Jews. It's the same thing, obviously, we have today. Vayi Kinovi, and when I prophesied, Upatoi ben Miro Mace, he died, I fell on my face, and I screamed out a great call. Now, we'll see why this is all brought down over here, but the Gemara tells this story. Cheskel, he says, I cried out greatly. Omer, Ha Hashem Elokim, what's going on over here? Now, as if he was protesting that Peralpatio ben Yoyada died, right? And Peralpatio died, and I protested. Now, the question was, Rav Shmuel, one was saying that he protested, why should this good man die? He was a good man. One, why should he die in this way? He was such a bad man that why did he die a peaceful death? He should have had a bad death. Mandar Motova, one says, Kihad the Istandra, the Mishan, right? We had Mishan the other day also, right? Mishan was an area of that were not clean people there, not purebreds. Standra was a county, and the Istandra was the governor of Mishan. Not again, Mishan was like a county, a large city near Babel, and Istandra was the governor, who was Ichasne Nebuchadnezzar Hava. He was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. Landacha, that it never changes, right? They always bring their family into the business, right? It's always like that, right? He brought his son-in-law in. Shalach late, and he sent the message to his father-in-law. Hey, pops, he said, you got all these Jewish slaves, etc., that you have. What am I supposed to do over here? Send me a few slaves here. We need a workforce, right? Come on. He wanted to send him some of the Jewish people that he had taken to him. So Patoy ben Yo stood up there and defended the Jews. He says, Anan, he says, listen, Anan the Chashvina, and we are Chashev of people Israel, and they come, we'll stay with you, Nebuchadnezzar, right? We'll send our slaves. We had slaves too, right? We'll send our slaves there. The one who did such a good for Yisrael by letting the Jews stay with Nebuchadnezzar and not sending him to his son-in-law, who was really bad in Mishan, Yamus Bachas Yom, he should die at the peak of his life. So that's how one of them, Rav and Shmuel, one of them learns this way, that Yom was a good guy who was trying to defend the Jews. Mandu B'Lara, the one who says it's for bad, he brought me to the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, Hakadmoni, the first one, Hapona Kedema, which is facing eastward, right? Facing eastward, coming in from the east. Vihine, like opposite Harzais. Vihine, Pesach Shar, Esamachamesh Ish. and v'chamisha isha. And at the Pesach, I saw 25 people. V'arabatochim, and among the 25, I saw Yasno ben Ezer, Bes Paltio ben Yob. They were among those 25. Paltio ben Yob is the guy we're speaking about. Sarayam, officers of the nation. V'ksiv, Bayabo, another pasuk says, so that's one pasuk talks about 25 people among them. Another pasuk referring to the 25 people says, Bayabo yasel chatzah beis Hashem apnimis, brought me to the chatzah beis Hashem again pnimis. V'hinei Pesach heichal Hashem, the Pesach of heichal Hashem was bein ulam bein mizbeach, right? The Pesach was between the ulam and the mizbeach. Kasim rechamisha ish achrim. There were 25 people there. V'hinei Pesach heichal Hashem bein mizbeach. By the Pesach Hashem, which is between the mizbeach, there were 25 people there. Achareim el heichal Hashem, there. Their backside was towards the Heichel, Upneim Kedma, and their face was Kedma, which makes sense geographically, right? Because if they're facing east, their back is to the Heichel, right? The where we have, we're opposite today where the Kotel is, was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As you come in from the east, and you have the courtyard towards the east, and the Heichel is towards the west. So if they were standing with their back to the Heichel, their face is toward the east. So the Gemara says, Mimash, Mishnemer, Pneim Kedma. If you know that they're facing east, I know that their back is towards the west. That's simple geography. You're facing east, your back is towards the west, towards the Heichel. Mata Maloma, Achorem Alech Hashem, Esmam, Tidnlam, and Shehoyu tells you, Shemafrin, Atzma, Trizim, Atzmam, Kalapim, Mal. In other words, they were committing blasphemy. They uncovered their backside and they defecated towards the Heichel. It's to show total disrespect. And it says it says 25 people. The 25 people, Esr Mechamisha Yisrael, we assume is the same as the other 25 people, and Benayahu was among them. So here Benayahu was a bad guy. He was committing this blasphemy. But Kamar Navi, so the Navi now said, Misha also Razos Bisrol Yamos Amitaso should die on his bed peacefully. In other words, he wasn't saying, when he cried out, he wasn't crying out, how did you let this guy die? He was a defender of Israel. How did he die peacefully? So that's there's a machlokas about that. Tistayim, let's prove the Shmuel Dharma L'Rav. We're going to prove that Shmuel, we said Rav Shmuel, one said one way, one said the other way. We're going to prove that Shmuel was the one who said for bad. He was the one who said that, that Paltio ben Binayahu, right, was a bad guy. Mushchani areyu kegol yuchsim. We had before an Avad Aleph that Mushchani is like Bavel, Babylonia, is like Pumpedisa rather. Gol that we said is Pumpedisa for yuchsim, meaning it's a good place. Actually, we quoted it on Avad Aleph, but it was really brought down on yesterday's daf, right? Mushchani, it was the first part of Rechiv Barav, about 10 lines from the bottom of yesterday's daf, Amid Beis, Rechiv Barav, Amr Shmuel, Mushchani, Arei, Kegolu, Yuchsin. So, and we quoted it on Amar Alfir too, because we said it's Mushchi, the same as Mushchani. We said it's not. Mushchi is bad, Mushchani is good. So here, Shmuel said, Rechiv Barav, Mushchani, Arei, Kegolu, Yuchsin. Mishon, Lachashula. Mishon, there was no concern at all. When he definitely talked about Mushchani, and he said, Mishon, that the completed phrase of Shmuel, we're referring to Mushchani, but his completed phrase was Mushchani is fine. Mishan lo chashula, there's no concern. Lo mishum avdus, lo mishum amzeris. There's Mishan, there was no concern there at all about, there's no slavery there, and there's no mamzeris there at all. Ella, what was there? There were some kohanim, el kohanim shahiba lo akpidol agrushos. Right? The kohanim who did live there, they were not makbid, they married grushos, which of course would make their children Chalalim or Chalalot, as the case may be, right? But there were no Mamzerim or Avodos there. Now, if you say that there are Mamzer Avodim, according to the first opinion, Batayo ben Yoyoro was defending the Jews. What did he say? He said, don't send us. We'll send our other slaves. We'll send our slaves there, but let us stay here. But that means that slaves did go to Mishon. There were slaves in Mishon. And according to Shmuel himself, Shmuel says there were no slaves in Mishon. So it must be that Shmuel didn't hold the first opinion about the Paltio ben Benayo being a defender of the Jews, but rather he must have held the second opinion because he held there were no slaves in Mishon. So the Gemara says that doesn't prove it, right? It's probably because we're talking. That's probably what this holding is brought down here because we're talking about slaves in different cities, or the yichus of those cities in Bavel. You can't prove it from here. At the end of the day, we don't know. We have Rav and Shmuel both interpreting the phrases of Yecheskel. We don't know if which one said for good, which among Rav and Shmuel, which one was for good, which one learned it for bad. Shmuel holds that if you mafka your eved, you send him away, he's gone. He's a free man, and you don't need to get shechet. Shneimer kol eved ish miknas kefsef. Pasuk says every slave of a man who's bought with money. Eved ish v'lo eved ish. Why do I say eved ish? Just say eved. Why do I say eved of a man? Doesn't mean eved of a man as opposed to eved of a woman. A Jewish woman could also own a slave. El eved sheyes lo rishus l'rabo lo avkar eved. If he's an eved of a person, that's what it means. It doesn't mean a man as opposed to a woman. It means if he's an eved of a person, he has a master, then he's called an eved. Eved sheyin lo rishus l'rabo ein kar eved. So therefore, the point is this, that even, it could very well be Shmuel held the first opinion, that Pelatayo ben Benayo really was a defender of Israel. And he said, don't send me, send my slaves. So then there were slaves in Mishnah. No, but once the Jews sent their slaves to Mishnah, they basically gave up on him. They knew that they wouldn't have them anymore. They were mafka them, and then they weren't slaves anymore. So that's why Shmuel could say later on, from the city of Mishan, there might be some Kohanim who marry Grushos there. There might be some, not everybody. There could be some. But there's no Mamzerim, and there's no Avadim in that city. So we don't know who said what among Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav Shmuel, another thing. Zu Divrei Meir. This whole business that we're talking about now, that we go back to Mishnah, we said that Asar Yosef Bavel and Rav Elazar explained that as meaning what? That Ezra did not leave Bavel until he separated on all the Mamzerim, the Nesinim, the Gerim, I said, put them all aside, and he brought them up with him to Israel. So who stayed in Bavel? Only the purest, only the purebreds, only the kosher Jews. That's all the opinion of Rameir. I'm going to be Rameir Shmuel Zuli Rameir. V'cham Omrim, Kolorats B'cheskes Kasher Sein Mels. All countries, you have to assume Jews from that city are kosher Jews. Not just Bavel. That's the standard. Amem Mishalei Ravuna Rabarnosa. Rameir allowed Ravuna Rabarnosa laments of Issa Michuzaisa. Chuzaisa, Rashi says, was not part of Bavel. V'ainu Michuza B'toch Gvul Bavel. Hamur Minyan Yuchsin. Interesting. Michuza was the town of Rav, right? We know that Michuza was a town mentioned in Bavel, but it wasn't really in the borders that we've discussed. So he says, "Elazim Chazai." So Amalei Ravashi, my dad, the Ravashi said to him, "Why do you allow Rafuna Bar Nosson to marry a girl from there?" Damar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel Zudu Rameir Avacham Omer and Kolos Becheskes Kasher Sein Numbas. Is that why you're allowing him to marry from there? Because you're going with this later opinion here. The Chum say that all Jews from all areas are okay. But Bei Rav Kana Lo Masniach in the Yeshiva Rav Kana, they did not learn like him. They didn't accept that. They went with the original opinion. Only Bavel is clean. They still didn't accept him, which is a different Rav Zvid than the Rav Zvid mentioned before. There's a famous Rav Zvid, there's Rav Zvid Narda held that Jews from all over are okay. So he went with that opinion. Tanur Rabbanan. What will be in the future? We mentioned before that yesterday and the day before we mentioned that if you know somebody's a mamzer, you might want to tell your kid or your Talmud, you know, stay away from that family. But you don't go publicizing these things, right? The things that are said, these things you keep it sinim. Tanabam, Mamzerim and Nesinim, Tahorim, Lost Lovel. He says that all the Mamzerim and the Nesinim, eventually God will purify them. Even though they're Mamzerim today, God will purify them. Rameir, Omer, ain't Tahorim. They will not be purified. Omer, Biosi, Velok, Farnam, it says, I will sprinkle upon you pure waters and then we'll purify you. Omer,
there's another interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
There are many who say we are now in the Messianic era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Therefore,
if we're
not
Mamzerim.
Yeah, but it means that we in the Messianic era. When they come, it'll be Matar of them. Not now. We don't. Nobody was Matar of them yet, right? They'll Matar of them yet, and in the future they'll be purified.
I'm thinking in English.
No, he says lost in love. Lost in love means in the future. We haven't gotten there yet.
That's how it's translated.
Right. That's right.
If we are in the Messianic era.
Yeah, well, we're not quite there. We're not quite there. Loss of love means in the future. We Messianic era. Messianic era means when Mashiach comes and he'll tell us that they're purified. We are close to the... We are in what we call today, where Chavetz Chaim called Ikvas of the Mashiach. We're on the heels. We're getting there. You know, we're close to that, but we're not... Mashiach isn't quite here yet. When he says Messianic era, he means literally the Mashiach has arrived. That's the difference. I think it's just a different nomenclature. Messianic era means Mashiach is here. We are close. We know we're close. We're just not there yet. Close, but no cigar, right? Divrei Rabbi Yosef. Meir Omer, ain't Tahorim. They will not. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Elokon, it says, Rakhlem, Rechem, Tahorim, Atom, we're going to purify. Amar Lord Meir, Kshu Omer, Mikol Tumosechem. It says, go on with the pasuk. It says, Rakhlem, Rechem, Maim, Tahorim, Utahartem, Mikol Tumosechem, Umikol Gulechem. I'll purify you from all your impurities and from your idols. V'lom Ramzeris said that not from that, from impurities and from idols, I can purify you. I go to the mikveh, throw out the idols. but not mamzerus. That's in your, that's, you know, that's part of your DNA. Omer biosik shomer atarischem, when it says again, we call it atarischem, it repeats, I will purify you and will purify you from your impurities and from your idols. And then it says atarischem again, aviomer afman amzerus. So Rabbi Yosef Eldim Ramzerus, Bishlam Rameir, Rameir, who says what? That Rameir says that there will still be mamzerim ain't over, there will still be mamzerim hanachsiv. In the future, and he's talking about a future loss in the future period, the mamzerim will live in Ashdod, and what he means that is they will live by themselves in Ashdod, right? Don't use this for possible today if you want to, you know, anybody in Ashdod. So Vayeshev mamzer Ashdod, meaning they will live separately in Ashdod, that they will have like their own, you know, leper's village, that they're not to mix with other people, right? Leper colony, right? It'll be like a leper colony of Mamzerim. So I understand why it says that. Elor b'yosi mai v'yesh Mamzerim. According to b'yosi, there will be no. We're talking about v'yesh means this is a vav mapechus in the future. V'yesh Mamzerim b'ashdod. According to you, there'll be no Mamzerim in the future. So the answer is Rabbi Yosi will learn. Can a metargum of Yosef, the targum of that pasuk is not the simple translation of they will live in Mamzerim, but Yosfun b'yisrael, the rochzen b'aron. Why? Davidom b'linuchron. In a place where they were considered like strangers, Davidom Lachron, in the future they will live in security. Rochzan here means secure. Yosem Yisrael Targum Shal Vayesh here is that they will live in security. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to say Mamza, literally they're Mamzer. It means to say that in a place where they were Zarim, they will now live, Vayesh, they will now live in security. Amar Yom Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Yossi. He says that Halach is like Rabbi Yossi. Not the Ram Pasnas that we does not pass. We don't see it passing away, but Halach is like Rabbi Yossi, and eventually they'll be purified. Amar Rabbi Yosef, he loved Amar Yidom Shmuel Halach Rabbi Yossi. Had it not been that Rabbi Shmuel said Halach is like Rabbi Yossi, what's going to happen in the future? Havi Osi Elio, when Elio will come to bring and tell us Mashiach is going to come. Mapik Minan Savrani Savrani Kolar, and he will bring out, you know, streams and streams, bunches and bunches of Moshe Ma'aseh Kol Lishol Bnei Adam. So in other words, it's like he'll bring them all out in chains. There'll be lots and lots of mamzerim. That Rabbi Yossi says not a problem. He's going to retire them lost the lovo. But if it wouldn't be for that, if you just go through Meir Shita, when Elio comes, he's going to have to separate tons and tons of mamzerim from among us. Tana Rabbanan, ger nosei mamzeris. Okay, we're going to talk about can a ger can marry mamzerim. Mamzer, we discussed this before, right? Huh?
Jamie brought the cake.
Yeah. Oh. yeah, but he was talking about. He's talking about a ger. Yeah, he's talking about a ger. Yeah,
married
a ger. Right. So he said that in the Gemara. Actually, we learned it in the Mishnah. What do we say in the Mishnah? I'm back on Samach Tes, right? Which is Samach Tes, like Bira said, Satya, right? Samach Tes, right? He says that ger v'charuim mamzerim nasim shtuke v'asiv kul matron loves avazet. So the Mishnah goes with that idea too, that a ger and a mamzer, among others, these people can intermarry. Not a problem. Why? As we'll see, because when it says, well, you have a mamzer, but Kalashem is one thing. Ger is not part of Kalashem, even though they're Jews and they're responsible to Tariq Mitzvahs, but Kalashem, it's not, they're not called Kahal Hashem.
So the Yisr, huh? What makes them different?
Well, I mean, because that Kalashem is referred, we're going to talk about what the Kalashem
is. Is there a different set of laws?
No, not a different set of laws. The laws are, because it says that Mishpat Achem Yelachem La Ger Gar B'Sochem. The same laws apply, but he's still considered a Ger. For example, rules do apply to a Ger. If she's a Yoris, a Kohen can't marry a Yoris because she's considered a Zona. The next generation, then they're full Jews. But a Ger. So we'll see what they are. What is Kalashem? What is Kalashem? So again, when we say here ger nosem mamzeris, that's because a ger is not kalashem. The iser of mamzer is lo yavo mamzer b'kalashem. Well, if a ger is not kalashem, then there's no iser. A ger can marry a mamzer. We'll see. That's what says ger mamzer Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yudam a ger lo yisem mamzeris. He disagrees. He holds that the kal gerim is rikrikal, and when it says lo yavo mamzer b'kalashem, it refers to gerim as well. Gerim is still considered kal, and therefore can't come here. We don't hold a ger. We'll see. We pass on Rabbi Yosi, like we saw in our mission. Ech a ger. A ger, on the first part, whether a ger can marry mamzeris, that's a machlokas Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, right? But on the second line, there's no machlokas. Echad ger v'echad eved meshukur v'chalal mutar mekanas. This, that we say that a kohen can't marry a certainly not a shifcha, right? That a kohen can't marry a shifcha who's been meshukrar, she has lacha like a zona. Or a Kohen can't marry a Chalala, and a Kohen can't marry a Goris, that's when a male Kohen can't marry a female one of those, right? A chalala or a zona or a shifchum shakreris or mamzeris, right? Or a ger, right? Can't marry a geris, but a ger male could marry a kanis. The rules about a kohen not marrying people do not apply to a she kohen, to a female kohen. My time, Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that the ger can marry? There's chamisha colleagues. If it says five times, well, it could have just said lo yavo, mamzer, and amoni, and momo. He could have said them all, put them all, lump them all into one pasuk, and say lo yavo, these people should not come to kalashim. It doesn't say that. It says kahal five times. Chad lekohanim, one for kohanim, because if it only have one kalashim, maybe it only applies to kohanim. Like you just said, maybe it only means a kohen. So if I only have one, I say it refers to kohen. If I have two, I'll say, okay, applies to Levium also. They're also called, there's a Kahal first to Levium. The third one, Chal Yisrael. B'chad lemishrei mamzer b'shtuki, one to allow a mamzer b'shtuki. What is a shtuki? Shtuki is where the mother says, shh, he's not your father, meaning we don't know who the father is. That means he's a suffix. Maybe the kid's a mamzer. You just know who it is. Maybe the kid's a mamzer. B'chad lemishrei shtuki b'Yisrael, one to be mater, not only a mamzer b'shtuki, but also a shtuki is a suffix, right? A mamzer, as we'll see, who could a mamzer marry? Well, you can marry a ger. You can marry another mamzer. What about if there's a suffolk mamzer, right? That happens a lot. Most of these cases, it's a suffolk. We don't know if he's a mamzer or not. Well, can a mamzer marry a suffolk mamzer? Maybe not, because a suffolk mamzer means maybe he's not a mamzer. So the answer is no. He can marry a regular Yisrael, could marry a shtuki, which is a suffolk mamzer, could marry, because only lo yavo mamzer vadai bekal Hashem, but a suffolk mamzer could come Hashem. So therefore he says there's five kohanim here, five places it says kahal, one kohanim leaving Yisrael, one to be mater a mamzer b'shtuki, right, to tell you that love mamzer bekal Hashem, right, but b'shtuki is not kal Hashem, so to speak, right, and one chal meshu shtuki b'Yisrael. So why? Because kahal geir lo yikrikal, and therefore a mamzer could marry a ger, a gyoris. Why? Because not a problem, a ger can marry a gyoris, and a mamzer can marry a gyoris. The same thing works both ways, because their kal is not kal. There's no isra on a mamzer marrying a ger. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn that way. Karm levim, mechad kal, not going to have one, because karm levim we know come from the same tribe. They're all levim. So that's one kal. I should say, if he's got an extra kahal for Geirim. So when it says, the extra kahal that it says, there's a total of five, you got an extra one, that refers to Geirim. So therefore, kahal Geirim is ikri kahal. And when it says, lo yova mamzer, bekal Hashem means including, you can't come to Geirim either, can't be voiseima, hachanami trei kahal ininu. The truth is, maybe Kohanim Levim are both concerned. But mamzer b'shtuki, b'shtuki b'Yisrael, michad kahal nafka. Learn off one kahal, meaning tell me only if it's vadai, right, vaday, but a suffix, meaning if it's a suffix of a mamzer can marry Yisrael, and a suffix of mamzer can marry a vaday mamzer, only if it's vaday kal, not if it's a suffix kal. Right, nafka. Lo yova mamzer b'kal Hashem, mamzer vaday, who lo yova? That's what it means. Only a mamzer vaday can't come, ha mamzer suffix yova kal. And vaday, who lo yova? And as both things are learned out from kal. Lo yova mamzer b'kal Hashem, only who? Only a mamzer vaday can't come b'kal Hashem. But a mamzer suffix, which is a shtuki, could come kal Hashem. So that's matzah shtuki b'Yisrael. And then he says, vadi hu liyavo, but ha kal suffik yavo, right? But a kal suffik, meaning a mamzer can marry a suffik mamzer, which would be a shtuki. That's all learned out from these psukim. And therefore, he's saying that, I'll tell you that, right, tei kali ninu, meaning there are two column four. The boy Sam is going presumably on the second opinion, right? Why? Because he learns out that Rabbi Yehuda still has an extra kahal, even though he says Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim each have one. But the fourth kahal teaches me both that a mamzer could live with a suffolk mamzer, and also that a suffolk mamzer can marry the Yisrael, because he says lo yova mamzer b'kal Hashem. Only a vaday mamzer can call Hashem, but if he's a suffolk mamzer, he could call Hashem. And a mamzer can only come in a vaday kal, but in a suffolk kal, he could come. And therefore, you have an extra kal for kal geirim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a mamzer cannot marry a gyoris, and a ger cannot marry a mamzeris. Or I'll tell you that both hani nami trei kal ninu. The time of Rabbi Yehuda me'acha, I'll tell you a different pasuk. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that kal geirim ikri kal? Pasuk is hakahal, and then it's chukachas lechem. You asked before, chukachas lechem leger agar. So therefore, he's telling you that the same rules that apply to Yisrael, that Yisrael can't marry mamzeres, apply also to agir. All right? Ula Rabbi Yossi, why does Rabbi Yossi do that pasuk? It says chukachas lechem. In other words, when it says achas lachem v'lager gar b'sochem, the chukah separated between the ha-kahal and lachem, and therefore you can't learn that that kahal applies to both gerim and yisraelim. It only applies to yisraelim. All right, ifsakinyan. All right, we'll pick up from here tomorrow of Echad Ger ve'Echad Evim Shukr v'Chalal Mutar Mekanis. This is the second thing that there was no machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi about. The machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we passed Rabbi Yossi that a Ger can marry Mamzeres. Tomorrow as well at 5:20, as we publicize.
I've heard that the Shtuki nowadays is...
Really?
That if a woman